Want to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes in your Bible? Book of Ecclesiastes, just to begin with. We read time and time again in verses 1 through 8 that there is a time. I never counted how many times it says that, but certainly it says it about 16 times, I think. Usually a couple of times in each verse. So we have several times that it speaks about time. And in that we are just coming into the new year, I wanted to bring another message here today that had to do with the new year, that there is a time. Kind of want to speak on that there is an opportune time for everything. There is an opportune time for everything. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word for our edification today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. A time, as it says, a time is the way it puts it in the book of Ecclesiastes. A time, if not taken advantage of, can never be taken advantage of again. And we need to think seriously on that as believers. If we do not take advantage of the time that is present, we can never take advantage of it again. This is well illustrated by the farmer, of course. If he does not sow at a certain time in the year, he is not going to bring forth a harvest. It's impossible for him to bring forth a harvest unless he sows at a certain time of the year. Then there will be a time of harvest when he does. But when he does not, he cannot go back and take advantage of that time that was lost. It is gone altogether. And that's why I think, too, when the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes gets to the 12th chapter, and you might turn to the 12th chapter there for just a moment, of the book of Ecclesiastes, he gives us a verse that certainly ought to be and probably is familiar to each one of you, and that's the first verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, when he says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then it goes on, of course, and speaks a little further on that, if I can get my page turned here on the book of Ecclesiastes. Concerning the evil days that come upon us. So he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And I guess a lot of us older folks, which I guess most of us are here today, I guess we relate to that verse. When he says, when the evil days draw nigh. Remember thy Creator in the days, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, when he's talking about the evil days, he's not talking about you going out and doing something bad. What he's talking about, what comes upon your body in your old age, in our older years, as we get older and older, that's what he's talking about, the evil days. In other words, my knees are very bad now. That's an evil thing to me, but it's not what you call a sin to me. And that's what that's how he's using the word evil. What happens to our body as it gets older and older and older? And he's saying to these youth, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before you get to a place where you can't do what I would like you to do, or where you can't do what you could do when you were younger for me. And so he's talking about the human body. In fact, all through this, I won't go through it, but it's a very interesting chapter on the body. He speaks about the deterioration of the body in these verses as he goes along. I'll just give you a little hint. Well, when he says in verse 2, maybe draw your interest that you can study it sometime. Didn't mean to do this, but I'm going to do it. While the sun, verse 2, while the sun or light, or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after it, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. What's the keeper of the house? Your hands. He's talking about here. He says, and when the day and the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. What's the strong men? Your legs, isn't it? That's what he's talking about there. And what does he say next? And the grinders cease, because they are few. Our teeth, huh? I mean, I'd take out my false teeth, but it wouldn't be very polite to do that and show you what he means by that. You know. They become few, don't they? Many, many times. I know some of you have kept yours, and good for you. I started losing mine when I was about 18 years old. First, I got hit in the mouth with an elbow and blackened a tooth that had to be pulled, and from there it was all downhill. And in those days, they were very quick to pull teeth. You remember that, you old friend? In the olden days, they were very quick to pull teeth. They didn't know what a root canal was back there. And then he goes on to say, because there are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. He begins to talk about our eyes, doesn't he? And he goes on and on. He talks about the organs of the body as he gets through here, applied to the different organs of the body. And that's what happens to it. So remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days draw nigh. And I always say to young men and so on, I said, if you're going to climb a mountain, climb it now, because when you get my age, you're not going to be able to climb that mountain. And how true that is. And some of you can relate to that. And so probably most of us, there are a few of you who are still young, but most of us here can relate to this. Remember thy Creator in the days of youth. Why? Because our days of youth are gone, aren't they? They're gone. And we can never bring them back, can we? We cannot go back and do things all over again that we might want to do. We can't do that. So he's saying, do it now. Remember thy Creator. Remember God now. Do for God now. There's a day coming when you may be in a condition you can't do for God what you would like to do. So remember thy Creator. So he's speaking of time. Excuse me. He's speaking of time here. And certainly what takes place in time. When he says there's a time, there's a time, there's a time, there's a time. Because one day you will wake to find youth is gone. And gone forever. Someone put it well in this little poem. He said, break, break, break at the foot of thy crags, O sea. But the tender grace of a day that is dead will never come back to me. Opportunity comes, but opportunity also goes real fast. Went down through the hole, Rick. He knows what I mean. There's a hole in this thing about that big around. And I just happened to set the cup at the wrong place. And down through the hole it went. Okay. Let's get that over with. Isaiah 49:8 quotes the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle Paul, I should say, quotes Isaiah 49:8 in 2 Corinthians. And chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'd like to turn to that. Maybe you'd like to turn to that, maybe not, but if you do, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is the verse that I would like to go to concerning Paul as he quotes Isaiah. And Isaiah in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. And he's actually quoting Isaiah 49. Verse 8. And he says in Isaiah, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he saith, when he says he's talking about Isaiah, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, And in the day of salvation have I succored thee or aided thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He's emphasizing that word now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And he quotes Isaiah 49:8 because the Old Testament speaks of a time of grace and a time and a day of salvation that would appear on the earth. A time and a day in which grace and salvation may be obtained. And he's speaking particularly about that day of the New Testament. He's speaking particularly about that day of Christ and that which follows Christ, what we would think of as the church, as the church age. We live in a time now, in a day now, in which God is offering his grace and his salvation unto us. Now, Apostle applies this and says to the church at Corinth and to us as well, behold, now is that accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that word behold, and he emphasizes that twice. Behold, behold, he's trying to get your attention. It's really an attention getter. It's that they might hear what he has to say to them. He said, now is the time. Now is the time that you must act. Now is the day you must act in it. Otherwise, that tender grace of a day that is dead will never come back to me, as the writer of that little poem says there. The writer of the book of Hebrews puts an emphasis on the same truth. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 3, there are a few verses that I would like to read to you, and you can follow along in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3 in your Bible. And in verses 7 through 15, now what the writer of the book of Hebrews, Paul did not give an exact quote when I mentioned 2 Corinthians 6 and Isaiah, but it was the same thought. But here there's almost an exact repetition of what is said in the book of Psalms, Psalms 95, verses 7 through 11. The writer of the book of Hebrews in verses 7 through 15 almost quotes it word for a word. And beginning with verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 3, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, now get that, the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. In other words, the day when you were provoking me. The provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter, and they shall not enter into my rest, is what he's talking about. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So he says, in the day, harden not your hearts in the provocation of the day. Wherefore the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. We need to listen to God when he's talking to us. Now he goes on to say in that chapter, in verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For someone they had heard did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. He's emphasizing the day. He's emphasizing a time here in which to act. Now, in this case, in the Old Testament, Israel lost their privileges as a nation. Their time ran out as a people, as they provoked God, as they sinned against God, as they would not respond to God when God brought them to a day when they could have responded, but did not respond to God. And thus that day was gone forever. And God really brought the nation to an end. They were cut off. A new age has come. That age that we call the church age, built around the death and resurrection and ascension of Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel of good news. However, this time will pass away. The time that you and I live in, known as the church age, just as that time for Israel to act and do God's will, which they did not and were cut off, we live in an age, we live in a time, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation, but that age, that time is going to come to an end. And we are going to be cut off. There will not be any more church age. We will be cut. We were the branches that were grafted into the natural tree. Israel was the natural branches. They were cut off as the natural branches. We were the wild branches. And we were grafted into that tree, thus bringing about the church age. But if you go into the book of Romans, as you get to toward the end of, I think it's Romans chapter 11, do not turn to it, then if God cut them off and the wild branches were cut off, can he not much more regraft them in and will be cut off? And there's coming a day when it's coming to an end. Behold, now is the day, now is the time that the grace of God is being manifest to us, that we might take advantage of this day and that we might take advantage of this time that God has given to us, because one day it's going to come to its end and we're not going to be able to go back. We're not going to be saying, oh, I'd like to go back and do this. I'd like to go back and do that. I'd like to go back and do another thing. It's impossible to do that. We must take advantage of the time and the day that God has given to us, because it's going to pass away. And there is really urgency in the apostle's name as he's writing here concerning this manner of now is accepted time, now is the day. It also must be noted that at a particular day of salvation's name, it follows that a free offer is made at a certain time. If we do not take advantage of that free offer that is made at a certain time, that too passes away. And if you've noticed, possibly you have noticed over the years of your life, there's only certain times during that day when the Spirit of God is speaking to you or speaking to another person. He isn't speaking to us at all times. There are certain times that he is speaking to us, and he's convincing us, and he's convicting us that we ought to be thus and thus and do thus and thus. We don't have opportunity at every moment. At every moment, the Holy Spirit isn't doing that convincing work in our hearts and minds. And we must respond when he is, or that passes away as well. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Then certainly now is the emphasis, and today is the emphasis, and it's brought about by those two words, behold, behold, as a attention getter. So there is an urgency in the voice of the Apostle Paul regarding that which you have spoken about at that moment, regarding salvation. Now, note the urgency is hinged to the benevolence of God, to the goodness of God, to the grace of God providing something for us. So it is hinged to the goodness and benevolence and grace of God. Today is the day. Christ had come. Christ had died. He had risen again from the dead. He ascended on high. He is coming again. Now, he said, with a capital N-O-W, now is the time to act, because there'll come that day when we can no longer act. So Pearl urges them to take advantage of the opportunity offered them of reconciliation to God through Christ. And then we think of the value of opportunity. The world really illustrates this as far as the time of the value of opportunity. All you have to do is look at the news every day, and it always gives the stock market report, doesn't it? And it tells you whether it's up or whether it's down and so on. And Wall Street and the stock market well illustrates to us the value of opportunity. Because when things are rising, that's the moment. In fact, if you've seen them on the floor of the stock market, haven't you? Most of you at one time or other have seen them on the floor of the stock market on the news. And they're going like this and they're going like that, you know. Every second counts to them. If they hit it at the right second, or they ever hit it at the right time, then they can make money. But if they don't hit it at the right time, then they're not going to make that money. And to them, it's put down into seconds many times. And you've heard of the bull market and the bear market and so on, I'm sure. You know, when things are up or things are down, or when things are going well, when things are not going to be going well. And so the stock market really illustrates to us the value of opportunity. It's the same way with capitalism. Capitalist in his investing, taking advantage of a certain time, or those on the stock market taking advantage of a certain stock or a certain mutual fund. But they have to hit it at the right time. Otherwise, they could lose money. Hitting at the right time, they could make money. That's the way the world operates in this stock market. So, but I just use that as an illustration of the value of opportunity. And to the speculation, there is a time to play and a time not to play. If he misses, he loses. And if he hits it right, he gains. But apply this spiritually. This is true spiritually. We are governed by time as well as the now, the today. Today is the opportunity to be saved. There's a time, there's an hour in a time when it will all end and all opportunity will end. Thus again, the urgency for us as well as for everybody in this world who's going to be saved. So the value of it today, the now. Now is true of salvation. What is true of salvation is also true of sanctification. It's also true of separation. It's also true of service, as far as God's people are concerned. If we are saved, now is the time for growth. Now is the time to give one's life to God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The word sanctification means really separation in a twofold sense. It means separation from the world for a believer, but separation even more important to God, separation unto God. And that's what sanctification means. And this is the time to take advantage of that, because the advantage is the opportunity will soon be gone. So if we're going to be separated from the world, we need to do it now, today. If we're going to be separated unto God and the things of God, we need to do it now. We need to do it today. Today is not only the day of salvation. Now is not only the time of salvation, but it's a time of sanctification for God's people. It's a time of service for God's people. If you're going to do anything for God, you got to do it today. You cannot go back to that poem and then see that the day is dead. We'll have no more opportunity. So what we have to do now, we have to do today if we're going to be saved, if we're going to be sanctified, if we're going to be separated from the world unto God, if we're going to do service unto God. Today is the time. There is a day, there is a time, there is an hour when it all will end and all opportunities will end. Thus the urgency of that. Now what is true, certainly, of this is true as well as whatever we're going to do for God, whether it's worshiping God, we must do it today. Now is the day. Private worship, public worship, if we're going to pray, now is the day to do it. Now is the time to come unto God as a witness for God. If we're going to be a witness for God, if we're going to be a testimony for God in the world, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day that we can do that. And let me say this, it can only happen today. Now, because all your yesterdays are gone, right? They're all passed you by. Many of our years have passed us by. So we can only do it today because all your yesterdays are gone. You cannot retrieve them. Now, concerning the future, you do not own it. You do not own tomorrow. You do not own the day after tomorrow. You do not own next week. You do not own next month. You do not own yesterday. The only thing you have is the present. The only thing you have is the now. We don't own anything as far as time is concerned. Only the present. That's all we have. We cannot say tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow, like Shakespeare said, creeps out each petty pace day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. Now, the only thing we have is the present. And that's why Paul emphasizes these words now. That's why he emphasizes these words today. Because concerning the future, only God owns it. And the only thing you truly have is the present. The today, the now. Until the future becomes the present, it does not belong to you. Only when it becomes the present does the time belong to you. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day. Whether it's the salvation of your soul, if you're unsaved, whether it's the growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, whether it's doing something for Christ in a certain way, whether it's being a witness for Christ in the world, now is accepted time. Today is the day. And then you think of the perils of procrastination when we think of time, of putting off things. I know you never put off things, do you? I can't raise my hand and say that I never put off things. I think I probably put off too many things. But all the perils of procrastination, when refused, rejected, the time, the day. Someone gave a little outline concerning this matter. The tendencies to procrastination are often very strong in such things as this. There's enough time, there's enough time. Is there really? And then another thing. After temporal matters are arranged, we can attend to spiritual things. How many people think, after I get this done, and get my house bill, get my things paid, my bills paid for, and when I do this and do that, then I'll give my attention to spiritual things. Oh, the perils of procrastination. And then some people like to say pleasures must be tasted. After that, I'll really get serious about the things of God. So pleasures have to come. Then I'll get serious. Usually never happens that way, but certainly that's a peril one of the perils. And the same way as this, and one of the greatest perils in a sense, that it will be easier for me to repent and believe tomorrow, or to do this or to do that tomorrow. This reflects, he says, the human view and the satanic view. For Satan is a great advocate of delay. Satan is a great advocate of delay. The divine or the God viewpoint is otherwise. Now is the acceptable time, says God. Now is the day. And all the perils of delay. Why? For he says, life may be cut short speedily and suddenly. And that's been true millions of times in this world, where life is cut short speedily and suddenly. And then what happens many times to us as well? Painful sickness prior to death may render attention to spiritual things and concerns practically impossible. And also the desires pass away. The heart may be fatally hardened. And that's what Paul says, and that's what the writers in the Old Testament, harden not your heart, harden not your heart, harden not your heart. But how often our hearts harden. Or the spirit may cease to strive. God is not mocked, so says the scripture. Oh, the sinfulness of delay. What an insult it is to God to delay whatever there is we need to do in regards to God, whether it's our salvation, or whether it's our sanctification, whether it's our service, whether it's our worship. What an insult to God to delay that. And how many times God is insulted. And then what a return for the love and sacrifice that Christ made for us. After all that Christ did for us. Oh, the sinfulness of delay. So what an insult to God. What a return for the love and sacrifice of God. And what a pernicious example is set by a delay. And what an injustice to ourselves that we do by delaying that which God would have us to do today, which God would have us to do now. Paul sees a divine urgency for those that he is writing to. And that's why he says, behold, behold, behold. It happened to Israel. The church of Corinth is warned concerning this matter of the hardening of the hearts. The book of Hebrews warns, harden not your hearts as your fathers did. We are warned not to harden our hearts. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of service. Today is the day of worship. Today is the day of prayer. Today is the day of giving our time and our talents and our treasures unto God. America has long ignored the grace and goodness of God to her. America's heart is being hardened. And God's protection and God's provision is slowly but surely being lifted from our nation. And only the believers in America is what holds back the judgment of God upon her. And that has been true in history in every way. Only the believer in a nation holds back the judgment of God upon that nation. Now, the unbelieving world does not understand that and cannot understand that. But that's a teaching of the Word of God, that only the believer holds back the judgment of God from coming upon a nation. Man is foolish to think that God can be treated and toyed with like men. God is not subject to the whims of men. All things are His. All things are under His control. He created time and acts in time. now is the accepted to that. Today is the day of whatever your need is in relationship to God as an unbeliever or as a believer. And the old saying, and how true, and we've said this before, only one life to soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. How many times do we see that upon the walls of the different Christian homes in the past? Only one life to soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. Let us pray. Maybe God's speaking to your heart today. Many times as I prepare these messages, He speaks to my heart concerning these things, and this is one of them. But only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Behold, now is the accepted time. Whatever the need is in your life. And I'll leave that between you and God. And whatever words you need to utter to the Lord at this time. If you're unsaved, you need to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul, and give me eternal life. Through having died on the cross for me, I'll accept that death as the payment for my sin. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, meet me at the cross. Or as believers, as the Spirit of God should so minister to your heart, may you so respond to the Lord as to what that need is for you here today. May you so talk to the Lord about it. Father, we just pray that you would continue to use your word in every heart today, for whatever need we may have in your presence. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake.